From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 23rd day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes and Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the FSA, after the government shutdown, is poised to mail out direct payments to farmers, though they'll be less than expected. And D.C. is working towards a farm bill. Again, maybe, we think. Oh, and don't forget, as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all happens as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
The numbers now. Let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Futures finished the nearby December up a penny at $7 a penny and 3/4. The March at 7.11 and a half, up 3/4. And July of next year finished at 7.03 and 3/4, up 1. The hard red at 7.45 and 3/4 in the July at a penny and a quarter higher. December corn futures 4.42 and 3/4, up 4.5 cents. The March 4 and a quarter higher at 4.55 and a quarter. And the May at 4.63 and 3/4, up 4.5 cents. July corn for the day, $4.71 and a quarter, up 4 and a quarter. In December futures at 4.85 and a quarter, 4 cents higher. November beans, $13.10. That's up 7 and 3/4. January futures, $13.04, 6.5 higher. In the March at $12.83 and a half, up 5.5 cents. The May soybeans today finished at $12.66 and a quarter, a settlement price up 5 and 3/4. July at $12.62 and a quarter, up 5.5. And next year's November, the new crop at $11.77. 2.5 cents higher. Bean meal futures at 421.40, up 5.30. Bean oil at 41.50. That finished down 2 cents on the day. Live cattle futures in the October at 131.80, up 70 cents. December up, down 22 and a half at 132.75. October feeders at 166.15, 10 cents higher. November futures there at 167.62 and a half, down 22.5 cents. December lean hog futures, $88.15, down 42.5, and the February at $90.20, finished 32.5 cents lower for 100 pounds in the lean hogs. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, December contract, $96.87 a barrel, down $1.43. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, 255 and 4 tenths. That's 6 and 2 tenths of a cent lower. Ethanol futures at $1.79 and a half for a gallon. That's down 2 cents and 2 tenths. And the difference between the two is 75 and 9 tenths of a cent. That's 4 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.62. That finished 3 and 9 tenths of a cent higher. And diesel fuel down 7.5 cents at $2.92 and 2 tenths of a cent. Gold futures finished up at $1,333.80 a troy ounce, a loss today, down $8.60. In the U.S. dollar at 79.26, is up 0.03 on the afternoon. Let's take a look at what the weather forecast is calling for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We can tell you that at this point, 43 degrees out, and a bit later in the program, we'll hear that it will continue to stay cold. But there will be some drier periods over the next several days as we talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. But do get in the field, because Drew tells me that we'll have rainfall again fairly shortly. Again, this afternoon outside the Urbana-Champaign studios, it is currently 43 degrees and cloudy skies for this evening in the Urbana-Champaign area. We'll see a chance of rainfall that'll continue through about 8 a.m. To 2 a.m. this evening, 8 p.m. rather, to 2 a.m. this evening. Mostly cloudy and a low of 31, just a 20% chance of rain this evening. Thursday, mostly sunny skies and 45 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 28. Friday, sunny and 48. Friday night, clear and 33. And Saturday, sunny skies and 56. It'll be breezy on Saturday, and by the time we get to Saturday evening of this week, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low of 35, then back to some sunshine on Sunday with a high of 53. This is the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media, the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, and it is the 23rd day of October 2013.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now in on the futures markets. On the phone line with us to recap what happened today is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
Well, it's gray and cold. I've been better, but it's October, so that's the way it happens, I suppose.
I would agree.
Tell me about the marketplace and what you saw.
Well, it was nice to see corn, beans, and wheat all higher today. You know, when you looked at these corn, we continue to be range-bound, you know, with that 450, 452 area overhead major resistance. And in the last 3 weeks, we haven't been able to get through it. We got to 449 and three quarters. I don't doubt that that may continue to be the case until we get through the November 8th report. You know, and the big question, of course, is going to be between this week and next week when the USDA cleans up all the export sales that we missed, will we see that China bought a lot of corn or a lot of beans during the shutdown? Certainly on everybody's mind. There's no question about that. And yet, when you looked at the export market today, you know, it was interesting to see it up, the corn market up as much as it was, because it was almost like you know how it was in grade school. If you were a homely girl, you might have stood on the side for a long time. You'd have to say the U.S. was the homely girl in the export market, because they just didn't get any business from anybody. Everybody's going over into Brazil at the moment. And I think that, you know, that's related to rumors that we've heard that corn is as low as $1.99 U.S. just because they're trying to get anything out of it that they possibly can. And so that'll probably be the case, and we'll see that as competition for a while yet.
And why would they do that? Is it just that they have shipped it all into their ports? They have to clear it out for soybeans eventually because they can only handle one at a time. They don't have a way to store it for very long. What's happening there, do you think?
Well, the only thing that I would, I'd say speculate on is that, you know, they underestimated the ability of their infrastructure to be able to handle the big increases that they made this last year. And so there was a lot of corn that we heard anyways laying out in piles out in the countryside. And, you know, that climate is really not conducive to continuing to keep any kind of grain. So I think what they're doing is making a desperate attempt to recoup any kind of money that they can. You know, when you look at the fact that it costs somewhere between 2.25 and 3.25, maybe even 3.5 to haul it from parts of Mato Grosso, where the most corn is grown, down to the ports, $1.99 is really not a real good deal, you know. And so I just think they're just trying to recoup what they can, and this is going to go on. It's typical. You know, we're fortunate because we have good infrastructure. They just underestimated the ability of the infrastructure, and now they're stuck with a product that's either going to rot or they have to get rid of it somehow. So, it's desperation is what it is.
So they're trying to move it before it goes bad, or is this going to get rejected on the other end?
I think they're trying very desperately to move it before it gets really bad. You know,
get rejected.
It might get rejected. I have no idea because I haven't seen it, but I do think that is a big part of it.
Exports playing a big deal today from the United States. That was one of the things that, of course, coming out of Brazil for corn. Soybeans, on the other hand, an export to where? Russia today.
That's right. And you could see the export market certainly react to it, and the futures market reacted immediately. You saw a lot of short covering come out. We ended up lower. We went up and tested overhead resistance in the November bean market at that 1317, 1322 area. That's resistance both on the daily and the weekly, and couldn't close above it. But the reality is we haven't seen Russia come in and buy any beans since April of 2001. And so this is significant. There's absolutely no question about that. It's a circumstance where it was a total shock, I believe, to everybody. They weren't even on the radar.
Why would they be in?
Well, it's one of those things that, having done nutrition consulting, I would have to say that I believe that, you know, the beans, of course, are a protein, and they're a protein source. And perhaps they're looking to supplement some of the protein that they may not have available from some of the wheat. You know, because wheat is a really great product from the standpoint that it, you know, it's high in protein and it also has a limited amount of energy. Well, you know, if they have enough corn and not enough wheat, they may just use use beans in its place. But I really don't know. That's the only thing that sticks out in my mind as a possibility. But it's interesting. I think it's more of a statement on what their climate's like right now and some of the concerns that we have. You know, Black Sea wheat is having a tough time because of dry weather, Argentine problems because of dry weather. And so I think the idea that Russia came in is maybe more of a statement on what their weather's really like there compared to what we necessarily hear about.
Okay, turn your attention right into the wheat market. For the U.S., looks like we'll be planting a few more acres.
Oh, my. I'm a little nervous about that. I mean, I know our window is closing rapidly, but at the very same time, I have never had so many calls with guys talking about how wheat pencil is so much better than corn because of the input costs and, you know, because of where our insurance levels are. And actually, we've been recommending to guys to hedge, do some type of fence or something like that at this point because we're trading in most cases, at least on KC and on Chicago, about 30 cents higher than what their wheat insurance price is. And so I think that this is an opportunity that's there. You know, when you look at the ratios, you look at the prices for next year's corn, guys are going to be looking for opportunities. And I just think that you have to be thinking ahead. And we don't know what next year's growing season is going to be like, but that doesn't make a difference. You have to believe that we are going to have a normal growing season. And we know for sure one of these days we'll get one.
Any best advice for those who have unpriced corn that they're hauling out of the field at this point?
Well, I'll tell you what. It depends upon what they're doing, Todd. If they're putting it in town, there is absolutely no question that they have to do something to preserve the carry in the market. Why would you do that otherwise, except that you think maybe the basis is going to get better? But at the very same time, you have to be conscious of the environment that we're in. If we end up with a 13.8 billion bushel crop, if we come in on November 8th with higher harvested acres and potentially higher yield, we then begin to move back to that time frame when futures get better, basis gets poorer. Basis gets better, futures go lower. And so if you're going to make the decision to haul it in and actually store it or store it at home, you've got to cover your carry. You know, there's just no two ways about it. You have to protect yourself. Same thing if you're buying more land. You better be protecting yourself because you're investing money you've worked hard for or you've borrowed, and you just cannot take a chance on where we could go with this marketplace.
Turn your attention to the livestock. Let's start with the cattle, please.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if you saw Orion the other day, but I said on Orion, I think there's more bulls at home in the offices than there are in the whole fields everywhere because, boy, they are bullish. There's no question. And you can see it. I mean, technicals look good. A lot of guys are hoping for 140, but I thought this would be a good thing, Todd. You know, a rule of thumb says that if we're going to get to a 140 on cattle in the deferreds, we need to hold cutout prices at 2.25. And we're currently at $1.99. The other circumstances, it could be very tough. They are grinding just huge amounts of meat, and it's actually to the point now where it's limiting certain cuts of meat in the stores, and mostly because of fast food consumption. So we're consuming it, but it's changing the playing field, basically, what it's doing. We're slowly growing exports. That's a good thing. Japan's the biggest buyer that we've got, you know, and our biggest competitor. You know, we usually look to the pig to be the biggest competitor. Right now it's poultry. You know, poultry is going to give us the biggest run for the money, but I think these guys really need to be thinking about that when they're thinking about putting cattle in. Be looking at what the cutout prices are and what our possibilities are. You know, if you're setting your sights that high, it's possible that maybe futures could get there, but will you get it in cash? That's probably unlikely.
And finally, the hogs, they're bucking the seasonal trend?
They really are. Every time they try to go into the seasonal downtrend, we get a bounce back up. Kind of interesting things that not thinking about before, but mandatory pricing did come in. Mandatory reporting came in this year in 2013 to the USDA. So we are starting to get what seems to be a little more accurate numbers. And, you know, the hog situation is one where, you know, we had the PED virus, which took out a lot of baby pigs. But we don't have a good handle on how many baby pigs it took out. And so, you know, I believe the traders are looking at the market and saying, I think that we're going to be short and we're going to have a smaller amount of hog inventory as we go down the road. But 2012, this, I thought this was interesting. The per capita meat production or consumption, excuse me, was the lowest since 1991 at 220 pounds a person. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to really be related, I think, to the jobs number. And if we see people getting back to work and more jobs coming out, then I think we'll start to see consumption again pick up.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the Ag News for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, USDA's Farm Service Agency will be making direct payments to 1.7 million eligible individuals beginning tomorrow. 2013 direct payments will be subject to a reduction due to the across-the-board cuts mandated by the sequester process. The sequester also is expected to affect 2013 crop commodity loans disbursed after October the 1st. Those will see a sequester-related reduction in the gross loan principal by 5.1% for 2013 crop loan years. Russian potash producer Uralkali has ramped up output significantly. Uralkali reported a 12% on-year jump in output in the third quarter to 2.7 million metric tons for a total of 7.2 million tons of potash for the year. The company says it plans to produce 10.5 million tons for the year. That would be a 15% jump from 2012 levels. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says he believes the House-Senate Farm Bill Conference needs to get a move on because the clock is ticking, quote, on permanent law coming into place, which would be pretty disruptive to the market and to consumers. Vilsack also noted that the conferees working on the farm bill will need to compromise. There has been thus far no signal regarding when the conferees will get together for formal discussions. Two Colorado cantaloupe farmers who pleaded guilty to charges related to a deadly listeria outbreak that killed 33 people and sent 147 to the hospital in 28 states have agreed to meet with family members of people who died and to donate any money they may collect from a related lawsuit to victims and their families. Eric and Ryan Jensen entered their pleas yesterday of guilty to six misdemeanor counts of introducing adulterated food into interstate commerce in federal court in Denver. The federal charges carry penalties of up to 6 years in prison and $1.5 million in fines. A sentencing hearing has been set for January the 28th. The Food and Drug Administration is asking dog and cat owners to report any problems their pets have had after eating jerky pet treats. The agency said it has linked illnesses from jerky treats to 3,600 dogs and 10 cats since 2007. About 580 of those pets have died. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program we post to our website by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening, Central Time, USA. Our guest this week will be Brian Bastien of Advanced Trading out of Bloomington, Illinois. Commodity Week up on our website at willag.org. by about 6 o'clock this Friday evening. Now up next, you know, USDA will use Farm Service Agency numbers to adjust planted acreage in November for the crop production report. I'll have more on how that'll happen. The Farm Service Agency certifies the number of acres of farmer plants to federally insured crops like corn and soybeans. Those FSA numbers are compiled and then used by USDA NAS to estimate the total number of acres sown to each crop. Usually, the FSA figures are incorporated into the October crop production report, but it was not released because of the government shutdown. The director of the Statistics Division for NAS, Joe Prasaki, says the FSA figures will be used in the November report.
In the November report, we will publish the, any updated acreage or whatever based on FSA data that we normally do in October. And it will be the FSA data, the most recent that we have. That's what we'll use because the FSA data, we'll start getting pulls back next week from the FSA. And so we'll take, that latest pull that we get probably on November 4th, use that in our review as we move into that November report.
It should make the acreage figures in the November report extremely accurate. There was some concern going into the October report that the extended reporting period offered to farmers because of the late planting season would cause the FSA figures to be somewhat incomplete. Prasaki is hopeful the November 4 update will be a flush of very, very good data. USDA NAS will release the November crop production report Friday, the 8th. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's Wednesday, the 23rd day of October. On the phone line with us, Scott Butcher. He's at the Andersons facility there at Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon.
All of the beans, I suppose, or nearly all of the beans, have been harvested in your area.
Yeah, it feels that way. I mean, there's a few fields here and there, but for the most part, I'd say they're all gone, it seems like.
Were you rained on enough last night to keep things out of the field today?
Yeah, we were. In this area, we got as much as a quarter to a half inch in some areas. So, it's probably, definitely today, probably get back in tomorrow if we don't get any more.
Here we had 3,700s for the total on the rainstorm, according to our Davis monitor here at the radio station in Urbana-Champaign. So, probably out of the field for the most part here, too.
Yeah.
How's the marketplace feel for corn?
It feels pretty good right now. I mean, I think everybody's filling their space on the farm, trying to, figure out exactly what they have for yields. And, I think everybody feels like they're going to have extra bushels that they're going to have to move here at harvest time. Just to get done with harvest, and, that would kind of be the general consensus, it feels like.
Move as in sell or move as in store?
I would say probably more store. I don't necessarily know that, a lot of folks are going to sell it here at harvest time. They're hoping for a little bit better price than where we are today. But I think we'll see, maybe 50-50, equal both.
And what are your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn, $4.23, beans, $12.93.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
That's Scott Butcher. He's at the Andersons Climbers facility right there in Logansport, Indiana, joins us on the closing market report. Back in just 2 minutes with Drew Lerner and the weather forecast.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Boston Cream Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1749, Nicolas Appert was born. A French inventor, he is known as the father of canning. In 1800, Napoleon offered a 12,000-franc reward to anyone who could devise a method to preserve food for troops on the march. Appert won the prize in 1810, and he established the first commercial cannery in the world, decades before Louis Pasteur proved that heat kills bacteria. Eventually, glass jars were replaced in commercial operations with tin or wrought iron canisters. In 1868, Colin Whipple died, an American inventor. He patented the first practical screw machine in the U.S. for making pointed, self-tapping screws. In 1920, Ted Fujita was born. A Japanese-American meteorologist, he increased the knowledge base of severe storms and developed a scale for measuring tornadoes on the basis of their damage. In 1971, Stuart Criddle died. An English-born Canadian farmer, he carried out numerous breeding experiments for corn. But it's his older brother, Norman, who is better known. He developed the so-called Criddle mixture to control grasshoppers in Western Canada. The recipe? 1 pound of Paris green wallpaper pigment, 50 pounds of horse manure, and a pint of molasses. Mix until the lumps are gone. And in 1921, Edward A. Dozy died. He discovered vitamin K. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated is with us to take a look at the weather forecast. Drew, thanks so much for taking the time. Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest. It was wet yesterday. Will we get some dry time?
We are going to get some dry time, and we need to take full advantage of it if that's a possibility. The next few days will be more or less free and clear of meaningful precipitation. We may still have a couple of spits and spats out there, but it's not going to have much of an impact, I think, on the bottom line. Surface high pressure center is going to be settling into the region over the next 2 days, and as it does, we'll get colder, and we'll likely see drier conditions occurring in the atmosphere. The ground will have a chance to firm up a little bit better. We're actually going to freeze up the ground in some spots, and that will maybe help to gain access for those few fields that are a little bit on the soggy side right now. We'll look for low temperatures over the next 3 mornings down into the probably 20s and 30s for a big part of the Midwest. Most of the lower and middle 20s will be in the upper parts of the region, but we will see freezes all the way down past the Ohio River in some cases, and maybe even down into the Tennessee River Valley. So certainly the end of the growing season for most of us, but its impact obviously is not going to be negative for crops. It's actually going to be somewhat of a benefit, I imagine, to help defoliate what's left of the soybeans out there and to help to set the stage for better harvest later. Now, we do expect to see some more precipitation coming into the forecast for next week, and that's why I say it's going to be important that we take advantage of the dry weather while we have it. There's going to be two weather systems next week that will occur. The first one's Monday through Wednesday across the Midwest. The second one will probably be Thursday into the following Saturday. These two systems may not produce huge volumes of precipitation, but it will be cloudy, and the precipitation will be around in the region fairly often, and so the end result is that we won't be able to get aggressive with field work again. So these next few days are so very important for progress.
And as you look at other places around the planet, what do you see?
Well, I'm seeing in China, you know, there's a lot of chatter out there in the marketplace about dryness in some of the wheat production areas. It's also a little dry in some of their rapeseed country. This is their planting season, and it looks like they're going to have some of their unirrigated crops a little bit slow and emerging because of the lack of moisture. But keep in mind that at least from a winter wheat perspective, China irrigates a tremendous amount of their cropland. So even though there's going to be some crop that may be a little bit slow in coming around, I think the majority of the crop will still be in relatively good shape. And speaking of winter grains, parts of Ukraine and Russia, which were so very late putting some of the seed into the ground this year, are getting blessed by a period of warmer, biased conditions that will likely last for yet another week. It's not going to precipitate during this period of time. The warmer weather bias will help to stimulate some improvement in the crop emergence and establishment, but there's a lot of wheat and some rye over there that is going to need a lot of snow cover this year in order to keep that crop safe from winter kill.
Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You have a good afternoon. Be safe in the combine. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.